Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Thursday, May 20th. Board approves pay hikes and new principals. Pay increases for everyone from teachers to school nutrition staff are on the way in 2021-22 for Ector County ISD employees. The ECISD Board of Trustees approved the bump during their meeting Tuesday night. Additionally, the board approved Lindsay Lumpkin as principal of Downing Elementary and Tiffany Rickman as principal of Jordan Elementary. Stacy Ashley, executive director of HR, said ECISD is one of the few across the state that is providing 3 and 4% pay increases. The total cost to the district will be about $7.4 million, the board recap said. Starting salaries for teachers next year will be $57,000. 4 years ago, in 2017-18, ECISD's starting teacher salary was $44,500. The presentation showed that everyone will get $1,800 with additional adjustments at steps 1 through 10 on the teaching schedule. A 4% general pay increase at midpoint for hourly employees increased to $12 an hour, and a 3% general pay increase at midpoint for exempt employees. In addition, Ashley said the district contributes $380 per month for all eligible employees toward their health coverage. It provides $10,000 in life insurance benefits. Many additional options are available at group rates for dental, vision, disability, and additional life insurance. Added this year is an opportunity for loan forgiveness. A summary of cost estimates includes cost for teachers, librarians, and nurses, $4.5 million. Cost increase for technology, police, $189,636, based on the number of employees in those categories. Cost increase for clerical support, auxiliary, including cafeteria, instructional support, $1.5 million. Cost increase for administrative professionals, $1.155 million. The presentation details that all cost increases include the general pay increase and the recommended adjustments. Donna Ziriax, Director of Benefits and Risk Management, said the district hasn't raised insurance rates in the last 2 years and doesn't anticipate doing it this year. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve an application for an appraised value limitation on qualified property from Quail Run Carbon, LLC. The recap said acceptance of the application does not bind the district into entering a contract with the applicant, but provides the option to consider the application and potential future contract for a Chapter 313 agreement for property value limitation and review. Chapter 313 agreements were created by the 2001 Texas legislature to allow communities to attract specifically defined companies, projects, through limiting the school district's maintenance and operations, daily operations, taxable valuation for 10 years. The agreement remains fully taxable for debt service tax purposes at all times. The agreements stipulate the school district cannot be financially worse off by entering into the agreement. It is an evaluation process that is expected to take several months. The ECISD board approved two similar applications in February from Nacero TX1 LLC and 1.5 P1 LLC. Murray said the application will go through a process including a review by the comptroller's office and will come back to the board in a few months. On purchases over $50,000, the district plans to spend $7,911,353 on athletic facility improvements, using Hellas Construction to complete a resurfacing turf package at Odessa and Permian High School and Ratliff Stadium, and completion of new athletic facilities at Bonham, Wilson and Young, Bowie and Ector to match existing competition fields at Nimitz and Crockett Middle Schools. The package also includes installation of LED lighting at Bonham, Wilson & Young, and Ratliff Stadium. All ADA requirements are included in the improvements. Among other items, the purchases included extreme exteriors to complete district landscaping for $882,205 and roof replacement for Ratliff Stadium for $1,395,381. The roof and the scoreboards were damaged during the hailstorm of 2017 and were ruled a complete loss, supplemental agenda material said. The project was put out for bid and garnered bids from two different roofing companies. L. Wallace Construction Company, Inc. was selected for the project because they were the low bidder and have done quality work for the district and on previous projects. Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers said ECISD is anticipating 32,730 students for 2021-22, but anticipated attendance is 29,784. Anticipated total revenue is $308,290,124. Budget adoption will be in June. This is about $1 million less than last time it was presented. Anticipated fund balance will go up to $22 million to $111,585,291 because ECISD was paid for the students that were expected. There will be about $22 million in one-time expenditures in the budget. After that, the fund balance will be $89,429,291. Otmers said expenditures were limited and positions that were open weren't filled because they didn't have the students. Murray said ECISD is investing in social-emotional learning of the 4,200 employees in ECISD. Special presentations including recognition of Executive Directors of Leadership, Alicia Press and Roberto Cedillo, for their acceptance into the National Superintendent's Academy. The introduction of Shijay Siva Kumar from Bowie Middle School as the Scripps Regional Spelling Bee Champ. The announcement of the 9 ECISD Memorial Scholarship recipients and the presentation of the top 10 graduates from each high school. In his opening comments, Murray reminded trustees that graduation season is upon us. The coming weekend will feature the Class of 2021 ceremonies for ECISD's 2 early college high schools, as well as the fulfillment of the promise to give the Class of 2020 a traditional graduation experience. He said it will be a busy and exciting Friday and Saturday. The following weekend will be 3 more ceremonies for the Class of 2021. Paranormal Cirque takes steps to return to normal, by Royal McGregor. Paranormal Cirque rarely spends 3 months in any location. However, that happened in 2020, after the coronavirus pandemic effectively shut down events throughout the United States and forced the traveling show to stay for an extended period of the time in El Paso. Many of the performers, including 29-year-old Yuri Belos of Belarus and his wife, stayed in El Paso for those nearly 3 months. "We couldn't go outside the country because everything was locked down," Belos said. "I haven't seen my parents and friends for 2 years. I'm here with my wife, which makes it a little bit easier for me because my wife is here." One of the members of the Paranormal Cirque, 28-year-old Olivia Matisse, said she was fortunate to be able to quarantine with her family in Las Vegas. Though she stayed for an unexpected 3-month break with her family, Matisse said it was tough to know that many of her colleagues didn't have that opportunity. "It was hard in one aspect because there are people here who are so far from their families, and they didn't get that privilege," Matisse said. "For a moment, we have 3 months off and they still can't see their families. I felt so selfish in a way." Luis Soto, 40, of Mexico City, said the normal travel schedule that allows 3 weeks off in a typical year is already difficult. That was compounded by a worldwide pandemic. Yet Soto said his day-to-day life is much easier since his 15-year-old daughter, Nicole, has traveled with him since she was born and is now a performer in paranormal circ as well. To be away from my parents is pretty tough, but that's the only thing I miss from my family on my side, Soto said. Knowing that my daughter is with me, I know that I don't need anything else. Matisse said that paranormal circ is slowly getting back to normal. The show is a mix of circus, magic, horror, and theater performances. Performers will also interact with people in the audience, which has had to be altered due to the coronavirus social distancing policies. The use of masks is strongly encouraged. We are slowly getting back to where we were at the performing level as far as being in people's personal space, depending on what county we are in, Matisse said. Paranormal Cirque has 6 shows before it travels to El Paso from May 27th to June 6th. Show times are 7:30 p.m. today, 7:30 p.m. Friday, 6:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Sunday. Though Soto and Belos are at different stages in life, both admitted that they feel strong enough to continue for the foreseeable future. Soto said he hopes to continue performing into his late 40s, while Belos said he has plenty of energy as a 29-year-old. When I was younger, like 18, I used to say to myself when I turned 35 that I was going to quit, Soto said. Now that I'm older than that, I realize that I cannot do that because I still have bills. I try to stay in shape and my body feels good. My guess is that I'm still going to be performing when I'm 47 or 48. I will stop and maybe try my own circus business. Belos added, I've been traveling for 11 years. So far I'm fine and I'm still enjoying it. For Matisse, her time with Paranormal Cirque is coming to an end, as she will become the manager of Cirque Alcatraz. The show is scheduled to begin May 27th in Sarasota, Florida. Matisse has been with Paranormal Cirque since 2018, and she is excited about the newest show from Cirque Italia. In this moment in time, I'm the last one to show up, she said. Opening night is in a week and a half. I feel a little ill-prepared as far as knowing what there's physically or who is there physically, but on my end, I feel prepared. Woman Returns Favor 30 Years Later by Royal McGregor. Editor's Note. This story was originally published by the Odessa American on January 31, 2019. The Odessa Police Department issued a press release Tuesday morning that former OPD Sergeant Jordan Medrano died Monday afternoon. He was 53. Nearly 30 years ago, Kristen Brown's life was saved by former Odessa Police Department Sergeant Jordan Medrano. Brown is returning the favor after Medrano was diagnosed with liver cancer in September 2018. The 29-year-old Odessan has started a GoFundMe page to help with Medrano's medical bills and travel expenses. I don't know if I'm saving him in the way that he saved me, but I want to do everything I can to help, Brown said. I want to do that for him and his family because they deserve it so much. On August 18, 1989, Brown was abandoned as a 2-hour-old infant in the bed of a pickup parked outside a 7-Eleven at the intersection of University Boulevard and Andrews Highway. Brown said Medrano was the responding officer who helped take her to Medical Center Hospital. The hospital gave her the name Baby Girl Doe. After she was treated at MCH, she was taken in by her adoptive parents at 3 days old. She said it took about a year before her adoption was finalized. She stayed in Odessa until she was 5 years old and then lived in Missouri for the next 24 years. Medrano said he wanted to adopt Brown after he found her in the 7-Eleven parking lot. This little child shouldn't have been left like this, Medrano said. I always wondered what happened to her. I always wondered if my children were friends of her. There wasn't a day that went by that I didn't think about her. In July of 2018, Brown returned to Odessa to retrace her steps. She was reunited with Medrano at the Odessa Police Department after he read some articles in the news that Brown was returning to Odessa. Brown found out Medrano had been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. The two have kept in constant contact since they were reunited. "Since July, we've kept in touch," Brown said. "I spent Thanksgiving with his family, and I've been really close with his family. I talk with Sergeant Medrano a lot through text messaging. I give him words of encouragement, and he gives it right back." Brown knows the toll cancer can cause on a family. In March of 2018, Brown's father died of lung cancer. She said that void of a father figure was taken over by Medrano. Brown added she's closer to the Medrano family than her biological mother, whom Brown found through a DNA match. Brown also stated that her mother told her that she suppressed any memory of her. Brown's blog chronicles her search for her biological family. "It was a big gift because someone remembered me," Brown said. "Someone was thinking about me all of these years. Somebody cared. It was heartbreaking that my biological mother was so cold, but it was the biggest gift that this wonderful man cared all of these years." Brown started the GoFundMe page on January 21st with a goal of $5,000. As of Wednesday, the funds had reached $3,172. Brown said the funds will help Medrano travel to and from Houston for cancer treatments. Medrano retired from OPD in 2016 and spends his retirement taking care of his three grandchildren. He said he tries to enjoy all the moments he can with them. He added that he tries to visit family and go fishing as much as he can. He said fishing helps clear his mind. "It's an awesome feeling because people are so generous," Brown said. "They care about Officer Medrano so much. He changed my life. He changed lives before that, and he's changed lives after that. He is a noble man. I was surprised by people's generosity, but I wasn't surprised that people cared. I was hoping that everyone gave $20 and we could raise it that way. I didn't expect to give hundreds of dollars." Moonlight Market to welcome farmers market season. To celebrate the upcoming start of the farmers market season, Medical Center Hospital will be hosting its first ever Moonlight Market, which will take place from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday. Attendees will get a chance to experience Odessa's only market, Under the Stars, for the family and pet-friendly event that evening, which is being held to celebrate farmers market season, which will start next month. Friday's Moonlight Market will include live music, food trucks, fresh baked breads and pastries, locally crafted items, produce, and more. The Odessa Farmers Market has been here for quite a few years, MCH Community Relations Coordinator Susan Thornton said. "This will actually be our eighth season that we have the Odessa, Texas Farmers Market. We thought this year we would offer the Moonlight Market as a way to kick off the farmers market season, to celebrate summer and to celebrate the farmers market season, and to give people a taste of what our farmers market will be. We're having what we call a Moonlight Market. The Moonlight Market will also have vendors and live music. We'll have food trucks out there. We just thought that this would be a really good way to get everybody ready for farmers market season when that comes in June." Farmers Market will take place on the fourth Saturdays of June, July, August, and September. This year's time and dates for the Farmers Market are 9 a.m. to noon, June 26th, July 24th, August 28th, and September 25th. As far as the reason for having a Moonlight Market, Thornton said MCH was looking for a way to remind people that Farmers Market is around the corner. "We were thinking that this would be a great way to introduce the market season to those who aren't familiar with it and safely celebrate outdoors the beginning of summer and all that holds," Thornton said. In regard to COVID safety protocols, Thornton said they will have the vendors spaced out on Friday. "We just ask everyone to be safely conscious of where they are with their own health, and if they're not feeling well, to pass on coming," Thornton said. We also ask everyone to be aware of where they are in their own health considerations, so masks are encouraged if people are wanting to wear those. but will be outside and safely distancing. Thornton said the Moonlight Market will be a good sampling of what most of the items the farmers market will entail next month. Obviously, it's a little early for some of the produce vendors, although we will have a little bit of that as well, Thornton said. But we'll have some local artisans, some locally crafted items. We will have baked items, jellies, local honey. So there will be some variety of things out there in the parking lot, and we're looking to have a good representation of what our market will show when we come in June. The Odessa Farmers Market goal is to encourage health and wellness to the area by providing a farmers market where the community can purchase a variety of locally grown farm fresh produce. Honestly, the vendors and customers make our market community, Thornton said. They're what make our market community so special, and we couldn't do markets like the Moonlight Market and the Odessa Farmers Market without them. So we appreciate the support from the community, but we especially appreciate the support from our vendors. If you go, what, Moonlight Market, when, 6 to 8 p.m., May 21st, where, 2nd Street and Golder Avenue on the MCH campus. COVID-19 news by the numbers, COVID in the basin. Ector County, 17,349 total cases, 373 deaths. Midland County, 17,614 total cases, 271 deaths. Texas, 2,934,592 total cases, 51,012 deaths. U.S. cases, 32,825,625 total confirmed, and 584,337 deaths. Find out more and where to get the vaccine at covidinthebasin.com. Quick hits. Movie in the Park. The City of Odessa Parks Department has scheduled a free Movie in the Park featuring Aladdin on Friday at San Jacinto Park. The movie is scheduled to begin at dusk, 9 p.m. Other films are scheduled as follows. June 4th, Frozen 2 at UTPB Park. June 18th, The Croods at Woodson Park. June 16th, Sonic at Lawndale Park. July 30th, Tom and Jerry at McKinney Park. August 6th, Trolls World Tour at Sherwood Park. Participants are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and blankets. Hot Summer Nights. Odessa Arts will present Hot Summer Nights events from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. this summer, socially distanced inside the Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. The events are scheduled as follows. June 4th, West Texas Party. June 11th, Donovan Keith. June 18th, Dallas Black Dance Theater. June 25th, Insufficient Funds. July 2nd, The Selfless Lovers. July 9th, Los Crazy Guys. July 16th, Treaty Oak Revival. July 23rd, Current 9. July 30th, Mariachi Armonia. Ticket required. Free tickets are available at hotsummernightsodessa.com. General admission seating will be available at the door, first come, first serve. For more information, call 432-337-1492 or visit odessaarts.org. Into the Woods Outside. The University of Texas Permian Basin Music Department presents the musical Into the Woods at 8 p.m. today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the Mesa Courtyard on the college campus. Frank Eichener, an associate professor in the university's music program, said there are 18 people in the cast. Eichener said Into the Woods, with music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, is loosely based around some grim fairy tales that Sondheim has knit together to create a moral tale about the ambiguity of the decisions we make every day. But despite its serious sound nature, Eichener assures that it's funny. Tickets are $15 and can be purchased at tinyurl.com/AHHC2HYW. Bring a receipt to the show. For more information, contact music@utpb.edu or call 432-552-3286. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Thursday, May 20th. Pauline Freeman Brooks entered God's kingdom on May 14th in Odessa. Visitation will be held on Thursday, May 20th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Friday, May 21st from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home. A wake will be held on Friday, May 21st at 7 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home. Mother's homegoing service will be held on Saturday, May 22nd at Living Vision Ministries on 525 South Grandview at 11 a.m. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens, Monument Section. Mother Pauline Freeman Brooks was born on November 8, 1944, in Wortham, Texas, to Mr. A.T. and Mrs. Johnny May Chambers Freeman. Loved ones gone before her, her parents, her husband, Mr. Jimmy Lee Brooks, Sr., sister-in-law, Ms. Mavis Marie Jefferson, brother-in-law, Mr. Samuel David Brooks. Loved ones who remain to cherish her memory and continue her legacy include her children and grandchildren, her two sons, Jimmy Lee Brooks, Jr. and wife Michelle, and Tommy Lee Brooks and wife Hannah, and two daughters, Dawn Audrey Everett Johnson and husband Tommy II, and Donna Liza Deanna Everett. Her sisters, Mrs. Gloria Jean and Mr. Kay, Miss Thelma Lee Freeman, Mrs. Ivory Joe Busby and husband Kenneth, Mrs. Mary Miller and husband David, and Mrs. Margaret Alexander and husband Jimmy. Brothers, Mr. Billy Frank Freeman, Mr. Willie J. Freeman and wife Sharon, Mr. Bobby Joe Freeman and Reverend Joe Freeman and wife Joyce. Sisters-in-law, Ms. Geraldine Pashon Brooks, Mrs. Hollis Brooks, and Mrs. Elizabeth Lynn Williams and husband Harry. Brothers-in-law, Minister Donald Ray Everett and Mr. Paul Glenn Everett, and a special niece, Carolyn Annette Jefferson. Mother Brooks leaves a host of niece and nephews, family, and friends. Services are entrusted to Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jordan Medrano went to be with our Lord on May 17th at the age of 53. Jordan was born in Rotan, Texas, to Zita and Frank Medrano on July 9, 1967. Jordan is preceded in death by his father, Frank Medrano, and stepfather, Manuel Carrasco. He is survived by his wife, Yolanda Medrano, mother, Zita Carrasco, brother, Frank X. Medrano, and wife, Jennifer, children, Kristen Lopez and husband, Adam, Leticia Chavez and husband, Andrew, Megan Medrano and partner Juan Vila, Brianna Rincon, and son Jordan J. Medrano, grandchildren, nephews, and nieces. Mother-in-law Gloria Gantz and sister-in-laws Joanna and Melissa Rincon and the family of Manuel Carrasco. The viewing will be on Thursday, May 20th, beginning at 10 a.m. with rosary at 7 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. The Holy Mass to celebrate his life will be held on Friday, May 21st, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church at 2 p.m. Burial services will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. On Thursday, May 31st, Basilio C. Sanchez passed away at the age of 94. Basilio was born on April 15, 1927, in Midland, to Crescencio and Carmen Carrasco Sanchez. Basilio was preceded in death by his wife, Margarita Arroyo, and his parents, infant son Jose, son Rudy, grandson Rene Jimenez, and brothers Avelino and Luis Sanchez. He is survived by his six children, Rosie Aguilar, Manuel Sanchez and wife Estella, Anita Malaro and husband Andy, Ricardo Sanchez and wife Luisa, Ramiro Sanchez, Ruben Sanchez and wife Patsy. 11 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild. In addition, he is survived by a sister, Tomasa, brother Trinidad, and by several cousins, nieces, and nephews. A funeral service will be held on Friday, May 21st, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church at 10 o'clock a.m. Maria Albesa Sarabia, 72, of Fort Stockton, died Saturday, May 15th, in San Antonio. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. May 21st at Hope Alive Church in Odessa. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Craig D. Armand is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Trinidad Marino Ibarra, 82, of Fort Stockton, died Sunday, May 2nd, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. May 22nd at Community Hall, Fort Stockton. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Cheryl Denise Blaylock, 54, of Odessa, died Wednesday, April 28th, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. May 22nd at the Rose of Sharon Missionary Baptist Church. Reverend Windsor L. Archie is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Vivian Annette Prophet, 87, of Odessa, died Saturday, May 15th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. on Thursday, May 20th, at First Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.